To see a home or a property that once was grand and prosperous run down and lying desolate is a most sorry and pitiful sight. It is a most miserable sight. When I was a young man of 18 years of age, I went to work for a period of time on a farm in the north of England. This farm in many ways was very grand and attractive. It was a very attractive property. The land was all of the very best quality, and the fields were all laid out in large, well-fenced plots. The farmyard comprised roomy buildings where the animals could be managed, and the dwelling house attached was grand, and it even was a stately home. In that particular area, this was one of the best farms that could be found. However, the man who owned this farm, for various reasons, got into financial trouble. His financial troubles got worse and worse, and eventually he was declared bankrupt. The people he had borrowed the money off then moved in, and they took ownership of the farm. They took the farm off his hands. Practically everything he owned, he lost. His animals were sold, his machinery was sold, and he was evicted from his home and from his farm. Now, this all happened about 10 years after I had worked there as a young man. But I had heard different bits and pieces of information of what had befallen this farmer. Therefore, one day when I was in the north of England, around that area, I decided that I would drive past and take a look for myself. As I drove up to the gate, I was met with what could only be described as a sad and sorry sight. The gates were chained and they were padlocked. There was warning signs that trespassers would be prosecuted. In the yard, the weeds were growing waist high, and everything seemed to be in a dilapidated state. The farmyard that once was busy was now eerily silent, and the farmhouse was dark and empty. As I drove past the fields, it was obviously the case that everything was in a dilapidated state. Everything was being neglected. I remember as I drove away thinking, what a sad and what a pitiful state of affairs. A very prestigious farm of land, a grand estate, now neglected and overrun by weeds and empty. The reason why I've told you of my experience with this particular farm is because in the passage of God's word that I want us to consider today, we meet with a very, very similar story. The verses of scripture I want us to focus upon are verses 30 to 34 here in Proverbs 24. In this portion of God's word, Solomon is speaking of an incident that he had, very similar to the incident that I had. See what it says in verses 30 to 31. I went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles that covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Here Solomon speaks of how he went past the field of the slothful man. And as he drove past this field, perhaps in his chariot, he noticed a sad and a sorrowful sight. It was all grown over with thorns and nettles, covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. This man's property, Solomon went by, had been badly neglected. And now it was in a most appalling state. A state of decline. A state of ruin. This was the unhappy sight that Solomon was faced with as he went by the field of the slothful man. But then see what Solomon says in verse 32. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Notice what Solomon is doing here. He's thinking about the scene that is before him. He's thinking of the slothful man and the results of his slothfulness. This is what the first part of verse 32 is telling us. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it. Solomon is saying, I turned this over in my mind and in my heart. I considered these things. I looked at what had happened. And he looked at it and I considered it and I pondered it. And this is what he's saying in the first part of verse 32. And then Solomon says in the end of verse 32, and I received instruction. And I received instruction. In other words, what the wise King Solomon is saying in these words is, when I thought about this man. And when I thought about his slothful, idle behavior, when I considered what I seen, when I considered what had taken place here, I learned from it. I received instruction. These things were a lesson to me. This was like a parable to my heart and to my mind. And what was this that Solomon learned? What was the instruction that he received from the sight that he just witnessed? Well, verses 33 and 34 tell us. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. What Solomon learned from this slothful man? That let his field and vineyard grow wild and fall into ruin, was the danger of spiritual slothfulness. This is what he learned. The danger of spiritual slothfulness. You see, this is what verses 33 and 34 are speaking of. They're speaking about a spiritual condition. The spiritual condition of spiritual slothfulness. Yes, he witnessed this field. He witnessed this vineyard all grown over and taken over by weeds and nettles. And the wall being broken down. And this was a physical sight that he saw. He went past this place, this farm, we could say. And he witnessed this. But as he received instruction, it was in regard to spiritual matters. It was in regard to this matter in a spiritual sense. As Solomon thought upon the field of the slothful man, it moved him to think of the field of his own heart. And how in regard to spiritual things, slothfulness is a serious problem and danger. Therefore today, as we examine this portion of scripture, I want us to consider the subject of spiritual slothfulness. The subject of spiritual slothfulness. This is really what we are warned of here. The great danger, the terrible danger of spiritual slothfulness. And there are a number of things that I want us to consider here as we think of these verses of scripture. In the first place, notice with me the condition of spiritual slothfulness. See again the words of verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. The individual that is in view in these verses is identified as the slothful. This is how this man is identified. This is how he is referred to, as the slothful. Therefore, it is important that we understand what the Word of God means as it speaks of the slothful. What type of people does God refer to as the slothful? Well, the word slothful in Scripture comes from a root word which means to be at leisure, to leave, or to neglect. To be at leisure, to leave, or to neglect. And so the slothful person is that person who is lazy and idle. They're not attending to the things which are important. Rather, they're at leisure. Instead of being up and doing, they're idle. They are at leisure. Instead of being active, they're inactive. Instead of laboring, they're lethargic. Instead of serving, they're sitting. This is the nature and this is the character of the slothful person. Idle, lazy, people of leisure, people who don't attend unto their duty, people who are not diligent, people who are negligent in what they should be doing. These things are all connected to this slothfulness that is identified here. Now, slothfulness of every kind is roundly condemned in God's word, and we should note that. Slothfulness of every kind is roundly condemned in God's word. Over and over again in the book of Proverbs, this is what is brought before us. In Proverbs 18 in the verse 9 it says, he also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The person who is slothful is brother to he who is a great waster. And how true that is. The slothful person wastes their time. They waste their time. They don't use their time in an appropriate way. And so they waste their time. They not only waste their time, they waste their talents. The gifts and abilities that God has given to them, and God has given to us all gifts and abilities. But the slothful person doesn't use them. He sits idle and he's lazy. We can also say of the slothful person, they waste their treasures. Through their idleness, what they have just falls apart. And we see this in this particular passage. This man was slothful, and so his vineyard, it fell apart. And so he was wasteful even in regard to his treasures. The slothful person is brother to the great waster. Proverbs 15 and 19 says, the way of the slothful man is as a hedge of thorns. That is, the slothful person will suffer pain. They will be pierced. And they will suffer pain and trouble in life. As God's servant, the Apostle Paul, wrote to God's people in Thessalonica, he said to them, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 10, if any would not work, neither should he eat. If any would not work, neither should he eat. Again, these words clearly condemn laziness and idleness. It is right and proper that we work and apply ourselves to whatever position we are found in life. This is how we ought to live as Christians. Be diligent in our duties and work hard. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Christian, the child of God, is then not to be slothful in any area of life. Yet as we come to this portion of God's word, we are brought to see in some detail the condition of those who are spiritually slothful. The condition of those who are spiritually slothful. These verses really do describe the condition of those who neglect and are slack in regard to spiritual matters. In regard to the things of God. And that is what is before us here. Now notice with me a number of things about this condition of spiritual slothfulness. We see here spiritual slothfulness is a foolish condition. It is a foolish condition. Note again the words of verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. See, at the end of this verse, it speaks of the slothful person being void, absent of understanding. That is, they lack wisdom. They are without knowledge. They're foolish. Now, this is something we recognize very plainly when it comes to those that are slothful in the ordinary, everyday things of life. Such people are considered to be fools, for they will not even help themselves. If they would just get up and apply themselves, how much better off they would be. And there are certain individuals we see this with. If they would just work, if they would just apply themselves, then their lives would be so much better. And we would even say of them, you know, they're their own worst enemy. They're so lazy, they're so idle. And they're in their mess that they're in today because just of plain laziness. How foolish they are. If they would just apply themselves, if they would just work, then how much better off their lives would be. And we recognize their foolishness. We recognize how void of understanding they are. Yet how much truer this is in regard to the condition of spiritual slothfulness. It is the most foolish and nonsensical condition that the believer could be found in. Spiritually slothful. Think of it this way. In Psalm 34 in the verse 10, God says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. See what God is saying in these words. He's saying, if you seek me, and the word seek here means to diligently follow after. If the Christian diligently follows after the Lord, then they shall not want any good thing. They shall not want any good thing. Seeking after God, diligently following Him, is the only possible way we can know real and meaningful blessing in life. Seeking after the Lord, following Him. This is the key to a happy and prosperous Christian life. Being diligent and seeking after the Lord, following the heart after Him. Seeking Him above everything else, putting Him first in their lives. This is the key to happiness. This is the key to a blessed Christian life, to a happy Christian life. Therefore, when we are spiritually slothful, when we don't seek after Him, when we put other things before Him, when we neglect His worship, when we neglect our Bibles, when we neglect the place of prayer, we're acting in the most foolish way. Because we're actually turning from the fount of every blessing. Who can bless us more than God can bless us? Who can do us good more than the Lord can do us good? Who can bring happiness and joy into our lives more than the Lord? See how foolish then it is to neglect Him? and not to seek after him? Spiritual slothfulness. It is a foolish condition. But we also see here, it's not only a foolish condition, it is a fruitless condition. This is brought to our attention in verse 31. And lo, it was all grown over. This is this vineyard or this field. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Notice as Solomon passed this field or vineyard, what he saw growing. He saw thorns and nettles. Now we will come to the thorns and nettles in a minute. But what he did not see in the field or vineyard of the slothful was fruit. Isn't that interesting to note here? He didn't see any fruit. He didn't see any grapes. He didn't see anything like this at all. There was nothing there growing which was of any value or worth. And that's the point. In this vineyard, in the vineyard of the man who was slothful, there was nothing of any value. It was a fruitless place. A fruitless place. This is another feature of the spiritually slothful in heart. Their lives are fruitless. The spiritually slothful are fruitless in regard to their personal walk. There's no personal growth in grace or Christ-likeness. And this is the reality in the person who is slothful spiritually. As Christians, they do not grow, they do not develop. There's no maturing. There's no moving from the milk of the word to the meat of the word. There's no advancement. There's no becoming more like Christ in their lives. No, there's a lack of fruit in this sense. Remember what Christ said to his disciples? I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. What was he saying? He was saying by continually drawing of me, you personally will bring much fruit in your lives. That's what will happen. But by continually drawing of me, you personally will become a fruitful Christian and become more like me in everything. But you see, the slothful Christian isn't drawing of Christ. And so there is a fruitlessness in their personal walk. The spiritually slothful person, it's not only fruitless in their personal walk, they're fruitless in their personal witness. Their lives do not shine forth in the midst of this wicked and sinful world. They're not examples to others. They're not shining forth the way of truth and righteousness in how they live. Indeed, if anything, they harm and they injure the work of God by their slackness and by their idleness. Spiritual slothfulness is a fruitless condition. Christian, the truth is, when we are slack and negligent about spiritual things, then our lives really become of little value and worth. Do you understand that today? And this is something that should cause us to be fearful. If we are slack about spiritual things, our lives become of little value and worth. Now, this is not my thought. This is not something that I'm really proclaiming today. This is what Christ said. Remember how the Lord Jesus Christ described his people? As he preached in the Sermon on the Mount, he described them as the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. And this is how the Lord describes us as his people. You're the salt of the earth. But then he says this. If the salt has lost its savour, it is good for nothing. It's worthless. And he said it's just good to be thrown out and to be trampled on by the feet of men. What was he saying? He says if you as a Christian are spiritually slothful, if you're not savoury, you're of no value or worth. None whatsoever. You're fruitless. And so how careful we need to be in regard to this condition. Because it's not only a foolish condition, it's also a fruitless condition. But then as you think about this condition of the spiritual slothful person, it's also a filthy condition. verse 31, or in verse 31 it speaks of how this slothful man's field was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. Now, thorns and nettles in Scripture remind us of sin. They are connected to sin, for after our first parents sinned, we read of how God cursed the ground, so that it brought forth thorns and thistles. Therefore, as we think of this vineyard here, where thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof, this is very much a picture of sinfulness. This vineyard was an unclean place. An unclean place taken over by weeds. Weeds and thistles and nettles. Thorns. It was an unclean or a filthy place. Again, what a vivid picture is painted for us here of the condition of those who are spiritually slothful in heart. You see, where there is slackness about spiritual things, where there is a carelessness and a neglecting of the place of prayer, or of Bible study, or of public worship, when these things are really not attended to, there will also be the weeds of sin growing up in the heart and life. There will always be the weeds of sin growing up in the heart and life. Where there is spiritual slothfulness, there will be weeds, terrible weeds and thistles and nettles that will spring up in the heart and in the life. These two things are always found together. Spiritual slothfulness and sin are twin brothers. And they're always found together. Think of David when he fell into sin with Bathsheba. David sinned terribly with Bathsheba. But this is what it says in 2 Samuel 11 in the verse 1. It came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Now, what is that telling us? This was the time of the year when kings went out to battle, when kings fought. David was God's servant. David should have been out there fighting for his God and defending God's cause and testimony. But what does he do? He sends Joab and he sends his servants and he sends the men of Israel, and he himself stays at home in Jerusalem. And what happens? He falls into sin with Bathsheba when he should have been in the battlefield fighting for God. He was at home, idle. And he fell into great sin. Great sin. We could also think of the disciples. Remember the disciples, they forsook the Lord that night he was betrayed. They all forsook him, not just Peter, but they all forsook him. But what did the disciples do before they forsook him? They slept instead of praying. And the Lord urged them that they would pray, that they would not enter into temptation. But even though he warned them and he exhorted them to pray instead of sleep, they continued to sleep. And it's no coincidence that after this, they all forsook the Lord and fled. You see, where there is spiritual slothfulness, where there is this condition in the heart, sin and great sin, as we see even with these examples, will not be far behind. Spiritual slothfulness is a foolish condition. It is a fruitless condition. But it's also a filthy condition. I want you to examine your own heart today. Is this a condition that you've fallen into? I believe as we come to these verses of Scripture, we need to carefully examine this. Is this something that is found with me? Have I become slack in regard to the things of God? Have I become slack in regard to my personal devotions, my Bible study, my prayer time, even in my attendance in God's house? Have I become slack in regard to these things? Have I neglected things that I need to attend on to? This is a serious condition. The condition of spiritual slothfulness. But then notice with me also here, not only the condition of spiritual slothfulness. Notice the carelessness in spiritual slothfulness. The carelessness. The spiritual or the slothful person is a careless person. Of course, and that goes without saying. They are not attentive. They are not diligent. The very opposite is the case. They're slack, lackadaisical, and careless in how they conduct themselves. And this is their attitude. They lack conviction. They lack serious earnestness. They're just careless. They come and they go, a carefree, light-hearted manner. This is something which is brought to our attention in this passage, which focuses upon spiritual slothfulness. See, the words of verse 33. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. The sleepiness here points to carelessness. Think of this man in his vineyard. Think of all that he had to do in his vineyard. The wall was broken down. The weeds were taken over. There was no fruit there. Things were a total mess. And there he was, folding his arms, closing his eyes, sleeping the day away, carelessly. And this is the whole sense here. This is the whole attitude. The slothful person, the spiritually slothful person, is the most careless person. Notice here in this passage, the spiritually slothful person is careless in regard to God's blessings. They're careless in regard to God's blessings. If you think of this slothful man as he's brought before us in verse 30, we can say he is an individual that has been given great blessings and immense benefits in life. He owns a field. More than that, he owns a vineyard. Now, we're not told how he came into possession of this property. But one thing I believe we can say is this. He didn't get it through hard work. Being slothful, he would not have known what hard work was. And so he didn't get this vineyard. He didn't come into possession of it because of his own efforts and labors. Rather, in all likelihood, he inherited this piece of ground from his father or from another relative. It was passed down to him. This is probably how he came into possession of this piece of land. And we should also note this property was a valuable and well cared for plot of ground. This too is implied in this passage. A vineyard does not grow up of its own accord. It must be planted. It must be worked. And in planting and developing a vineyard, there is a great deal of work that needs to be done. A huge amount of work over many years to develop a vineyard. Mention is also made in verse 31 that there was a wall around this vineyard. And so those that owned it before him were careful to protect it. They were careful to look after it. That they were very diligent in not only developing this plot of ground, but in caring for it and protecting it. Therefore, this slothful man came into possession of a very valuable piece of land. He became the owner of a well-cultivated and nurtured piece of ground. And so, as he now lives and behaves in this slothful way, we see his carelessness in regard to those blessings which he had received. So careless he was with this rich benefit that had been bestowed upon him, that weeds now filled his vineyard, and the wall of protection around it was broken down. This was all the result of his carelessness. He had received all of these benefits, all of these blessings, a great vineyard with a wall around it. What a blessed man he was. Yet because of his utter carelessness, it now lay in ruins. It was a total mess. As we think of the blessings and privileges this man received, and then reflect upon how careless he was with these things, we must consider the blessings and privileges which God has bestowed upon us and what we have done with them. We can't think of this man and his privileges without thinking of our privileges and what we have done with them. If you're a Christian, just think for a moment of all that God in Christ has blessed you with. He has bestowed upon you new life. You were a dead sinner going to a lost eternity. God intervened by His Spirit. You were born again. God has also planted a Spirit in your soul. The Holy Ghost dwells within you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Scripture tells us. You've been forgiven all of your sins, all of your iniquities. Think of the sins, all of the sins you've committed from your very earliest days right to this moment in time. Wicked sins, vile sins, heinous sins, sins that you would be so embarrassed if we knew about them. All forgiven. Every one. Through Christ. You've been brought into God's family. You're a child of God today. You belong to the Lord. You have an inheritance in glory. God's child, child of the King. You have access to God's eternal throne. Day and night, you can approach the highest power of all. And you can speak with the Lord through Christ as a man doth with his friend. And of course, there are many other blessings we could speak of. What a blessed position the child of God is in. Blessed above all people and blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. We are a most blessed people. Far more blessed than this man in this particular story. When we then are spiritually slothful. When we live in a backslidden state. And really this is what spiritual slothfulness is. It's another name for backsliding or a backslidden state. Coldness of heart, you can put whatever name you want on it. When we live in this way, what we do is we treat the greatest of all blessings and privileges in the most despicable and contemptible way. That's what we do. If you were going past this particular man's vineyard like Solomon was, you would be shaking your head and you would be tutting and you would be saying, look at that lazy rascal. Lying there sleeping in the place a mess. Boy, he's one useless man. And this is the kind of language we would be using. And yet the Lord shows us this picture. To show us our own hearts. That's what he's doing. And you see, if we're spiritually slothful, we are despising all that God has done for us and all that He's blessed us with. Oh, Christian, understand this. God has saved you. He has lifted you from the dunghill of sin so that you might live for Him. That's why He saved you. And this is the greatest and highest calling of all, to be a Christian. Oh, that we could grasp what we've been called into and onto. We are God's people. We are His children. That we might live for Him, for His glory continually in this world, in our families, in every setting in life. The highest calling of all the people of God. Blessed and privileged above all people. Therefore, don't be careless with spiritual blessings. Don't be spiritually slothful about the things of God. Don't be like this man in Proverbs 24. Be like Caleb. Remember Caleb? Tells us of him who wholly followed the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. He was the opposite to the slothful man. Day by day, while he was young, and even while he was old, he still wholly followed the Lord. Maybe you think today, well, you know, I'm an older person. The years have gone past, there's not much I can do. So it was with Caleb. But even as an old man, well into his 80s and beyond, he wholly followed the Lord. And so we see the slothful person is careless in regard to God's blessings. We can also say of the slothful person, they're careless in regard to God's work. Careless in regard to God's work. This man, which Solomon speaks of here, was not going to leave much of an inheritance to his children, was he? You think about that. He wasn't going to leave much of an inheritance to his children. He was only leaving them with a run-down mess. A place that had been overrun with weeds. This too is the result of spiritual slothfulness. When we are half-hearted about the things of God, when we are slack about the things of God, then we treat God's work in a careless manner and we leave things in a poor state for the future generations or for future generations. That's what we do. Careless about God's work. God's work's in our hands. Do you understand that? If you're a Christian, God's work is not just in the minister's hands, it's not just in the session's hands or the committee's hands, it's in your hands. If you're a believer, God's work's in your hand. And how you handle God's work, how you live in regard to God's work, will affect the next generations, the coming generations. Think of it this way. And this is a biblical illustration. It's a little bit like a relay race. A relay race. The previous generations have passed the baton of God's work into our hands. You know how a relay race works? Someone runs with a baton, they put it into the next runner's hand, and they run and they put it into the next runner's hand. And it passes on and on. Well, this is like God's work. God's work has been passed into our hands. It's in our hands now. Now it's our turn to run with it. It's our turn to run with it. It's our turn to take it forward. Oh, we must run well. This is imperative. I say it as a biblical illustration. If you turn quickly over with me to Hebrews chapter 12, we'll see this. Hebrews chapter 12. I can just read this verse for you if you want. Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 1 follows Hebrews 11, of course. And Hebrews 11 speaks of God's people. Chapter faith and all of the great giants of the faith. And how they labored for God so faithfully, even laying down their lives, many of them. And then Hebrews chapter 12 commences, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What's this great cloud of witnesses? All those that have run before. All those that have carried the baton of God's work before us. Seeing we're compassed about with all of these witnesses, what are we to do? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What is Paul saying to God's people? The race began many years ago, and those that run before you ran well. Now you need to lay aside every sin and every weight. In other words, don't be slack. Don't be slothful. And run well. Run well the race that is before you. And this is how we are to run. This is how we are to live. God's work's in our hands. What a responsibility. But one day we'll pass it on to the next generation. As we then hand God's work into the hands of the next generation, in what condition will it be? Again, coming back to Proverbs 24, this man, what a mess he was leaving behind. A total mess. Due to the fact that he was slothful. Let us not follow in his example in this sense. Proverbs 13:22 tells us a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. Leaveth an inheritance. Let us be those that leave this godly inheritance, a praying inheritance, a Christ-like inheritance, an inheritance that emphasizes the all-important thing in life is to follow Christ. And so we see here the carelessness of the spiritually slothful, the character of the spiritually slothful. One last thing quickly, notice with me, and that is the consequences of the spiritually slothful. Read of this in verse 34. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The consequences of spiritual slothfulness is want and poverty. That is spiritual want and spiritual poverty. Of course, slothfulness in any area of life will bring poverty. You're lazy, you're idle, you will suffer poverty. Yet this is also true in regard to spiritual growth and richness. If we are to be rich, if we are to increase, then we need to be diligent. When we are slack and sloppy and sluggish about the things of God, neglecting our duties and just letting things go by day after day without giving attention to those things that are important, then we will be poor. And we will be powerless Christians. And that's what will happen. So often this is the case of many believers. slack about the things of God, and therefore they are weak and powerless Christians. This is the consequences of spiritual slothfulness. By contrast, we have, if we behave like the man, the blessed man in Psalm 1 that we were singing about in the opening praise, we can know rich blessing in our lives. He was like the tree planted by the rivers of water. The blessed man. Again, we have this wonderful imagery in Scripture. Blessed man, like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Think of the tree. The tree is continually, the tree by the river of water is continually drawing up water into its trunk and into its branches. It's continually drawing from the source of life. Read about that tree. Its leaf does not fade. And it bears fruit in its season. And this is all a picture of the blessed man. The blessed man is the one who continually draws from Christ. Continually lives in fellowship with Him. Continually drawing from the source of life. This is what the blessed man's focused upon. They are fruitful. They are vibrant. We are healthy. May we be such Christians. Not slothful, but seeking. Seeking continually to grow in grace and in Christ-likeness. Let this be the burden of our hearts. Let this be the burden of our souls. This was Paul's exhortation to God's people in the church at Rome, in Romans 12 and 11. He wrote to God's people and he said, not slothful in business. That's not speaking about the business of this world. It's speaking about the business of being a Christian. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And this was Paul's exhortation to the believers then. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You see, this is what is the opposite to slothfulness. Fervency. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. May we be such people. May we be those that seek the Lord continually. May we not be like this man. May our lives not represent a sad, a pitiful sight. But may they set forth the glories of the gospel of Christ. May as the world drives by the field of our hearts, so to speak, may they see a place that is pleasant and glorious and fruitful and very attractive. I trust God will bless His truth to our hearts today for His own name's sake. Amen.